Welcome to this special The Replacements edition of Brighton Broadcast News for Thursday, November 6th, 2025. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighton and an AI developer, right? Building AI apps and launching them for free. And welcome to the show. Make sure you're using brightu.ai, which is our free AI engine. And you can use vaccineforensics.com to search any questions about vaccines, vaccine ingredients, side effects, deaths, mRNA, COVID jabs, you name it. That's vaccineforensics.com. And then also make sure you're monitoring censored.news every day, where we have the emerging news trends identified by our AI engine. And then we have a podcast that's generated every hour, which is also AI generated. Are you getting the theme here today? Yeah. It's AI generated podcast followed by AI generated music, which people are really loving because I set it to a folk music style. That's, if you're wondering why that music sounds like that, like there's a lot of accordions in it for some reason, because I said I wanted folk music for that. I didn't want to have a specific style like, you know, rock and roll or rap. I don't want rap music following the news, you know? So I just put on folk music, which seems to fit. Anyway, all that's there at censored.news. Now, today, get ready. I've got a brand new song for you with a music video, and the song is called The Replacements, which, again, is the theme of today's show. Now, I do not have an interview that I'm going to run today, but I'll pick it back up tomorrow, and I'm doing more interviews, but some of them I have to wait before I run them for scheduling reasons. But I've got this amazing song for you here that's actually kind of a little bit frightening, a little bit sad, and I've got a lot of videos to show you and some really important topics to cover. So first, I'm going to play a video for you about the announcement from a company that in English, we pronounce it Xpeng, I think, X-P-E-N-G, although I think in Chinese that would normally be Peng. But anyway, we pronounce it Xpeng, and they have introduced a robot called Iron. And it's a humanoid robot, and it's the first humanoid robot that we've seen that is gendered. They've got a male version that walks around with a, you know, like a male chest. It's got like, you know, chest muscles. And then they have a female version that walks around with small breasts and, you know, larger hips and, you know, female stature. And apparently they've introduced two males and two females. Or you can take all the clothes off and unveil the Terminator exoskeleton. You know what I mean? Because that's what's underneath it. Should you desire to do such a thing, which might be psychologically damaging, I'm not sure. But you notice that other robot companies, like the, what's it called? Is it X1 that has the Neo robot, which I think is a joke? That robot is designed to be, well, gender neutral, right? It's designed to be unintimidating, almost like a eunuch. It could be a male, but definitely a male eunuch. It's only 5'6", you know, and it walks around your house, apparently remote controlled by somebody else, teleoperated robot, which is not really a robot. It's a puppet, you know, for the most part. So anyway, most robot companies are going for that. And they've all decided that if their robots look too human, then they become scary. And if they look too non-human, then they're also scary for a different reason. So there's this middle ground of the robot looking just enough human, like the form is human, but it doesn't have a face. You know, it doesn't have a mouth, which is a little freaky, by the way. But I don't want to see a robot company try to create a human face and try to animate the human face, because that would look like the Chucky doll, you know? Like a horror movie. Oh my God, the lips are just all messed up. So please, to all the robot companies, don't even try the face, because it's not going to be good. It's going to be creepy. Creepy is the right word for all this, actually. Super creepy. So what XPeng has done seems to be actually a pretty good balance. It looks human form-ish. It looks safe. You know, it doesn't, it's not wielding swords and things and weapons. It doesn't look like it wants to kill you. It's a male form or a female form. I guess you can choose whichever version you want walking around your house. It doesn't matter. It's the same robot underneath. Or you could go half and half. A female on the top half and male on the bottom half. You know, have that walking around. What is that thing? It's a chimera cyborg. Have that thing walking around your house. I want to play this video for you of the XPeng company, which has been known, I believe they've been known for all kinds of electric vehicles and industrial automation, things like that. Well, this robot, they say, has gone through 5 years of development, and they're going to mass produce this starting about 1 year from now. So within, let's say, 18 months from now, maybe we will have one of these robots in our studio, I'm guessing, because we are actively trying to purchase robots starting next year. And we're going to bring them into our big robot testing grounds area that we now have. You saw the new studio yesterday. We have 5,000 square feet there. And the studio itself is only like 1,000 square feet or something, or maybe it's 1,200. But the rest of the building is a concrete floor ready for robot training grounds, you know? So we're going to be acquiring robots next year. And I hope we could get one of these if it's useful, you know? Maybe I'll be doing a broadcast and it'll just start walking around the studio in a creepy fashion. I don't know. Good thing I can speak enough Chinese to talk to this thing, huh? Right? Okay. Check out this video. This is a promotional video from the company, XPeng. So there you go. That's the XPeng robot. And as you saw, it's got a female form there. It's got a male form. Looks like they filled out the female form by maybe crumpling up some paper and stuffing it under the clothes. I'm not sure. There's like some crumpling under the clothing. I don't know what that is. But underneath the female form is, of course, just it's a regular robot exoskeleton from XPeng. And this, you notice that the walking movement there, that's not CGI. That's real. That's real walking. And in fact, I think I may have another video for you on that. Let's take a look.
XPeng just threw down the gauntlet against Tesla with a bold expansion into humanoid robots powered by its own AI chips. In a demonstration, the next generation Iron, designed to showcase its progress, a robot with a distinctly human-like female form, walked across the stage with a gentle. The new Iron features natural, fluid movements, a highly articulated human-like body, with 22 degrees of freedom in its hands, a biomimetic spine and muscles, and a 3D curved head display for interactive communication. It is powered by 3 Turing AI chips and XPeng's second-generation vision language action system, delivering 2,250 tera operations per second for advanced dialogue, walking, and interaction. The Iron uses an all-solid-state battery for lightweight, safe operation and includes active safety and privacy protections. During a presentation, CEO He Xiaopeng downplayed the likelihood that the humanoids will soon be usable in households and said it was too costly to use them in factories given the low price of labor in China. Instead, he said the robots will first be used as tour guides, sales assistants, and office building guides, beginning in XPeng facilities. He argued that if a robot's structure is totally different from humans, then we cannot receive the realistic data, making it harder to generalize for human-centric scenarios like homes, offices, and shopping malls. XPeng plans large-scale production by the end of 2026 and will open a software development kit for global developers to build a humanoid robot ecosystem.
All right, there you go. You get the idea. So XPeng, apparently this is going to be an expensive robot, too expensive for use in the home. Yeah, that's probably true. It's going to take a number of years for the economies of scale to bring production costs down on robots like this. This looks like a very expensive robot. But hey, look, I'm willing to maybe lease it, to test it. As you know, you want to know my philosophy on robots. It's I want to test and help advocate for robots that help people live more off-grid, more decentralized. Because living in the country, which is something that I've done for 15 years, more than 15 years, living in the country requires a lot of work. It's a lot of physical labor. And growing your own food, especially, requires a tremendous amount of work. But even just collecting chicken eggs, feeding animals, goats, donkeys, dealing with irrigation, handling orchards, all these things. And not to mention home gardening, tilling the soil, whatever you do, planting, growing, weeding, picking tomatoes, all the things that you do, and all the watering and irrigation and pest control and all that, right? So to the extent that that can be automated, then many of us can grow more of our own food. And see, my vision of how I'd like to have a bunch of robots on my ranch is robots that are growing food, doing the gardening, doing the chores, so that I can focus on the things that I want to do, which is like, vibe coding or jogging in the sun, exercising, designing new projects, building new things. I don't want to do chores, I mean, I do them anyway, of course, but I'd much rather have a robot do those chores. And that may be many, many years away, actually, in reality. It's not going to happen overnight. But this kind of robot potentially can achieve many of those tasks. And I think it's pretty cool that companies like XPeng out of China and also Tesla in the USA are producing the physical formats of these robots, because the software can always come later. The hard part is really the hardware. The hard part is the actuators, the movement control, the automatic balance, kind of the built-in, shall we say, brainstem functions of a robot that should know without any software at all. It should know, like, don't fall over, right? It should have basic obstacle avoidance, just when it boots up, it's not going to fall over and it's not going to walk into other people, things like that. And then after that, you're going to load in the language model software. You're going to load in the behavior models. You're going to load in the 3D world simulators and everything. And from that, then the robot's going to be able to talk to you and listen to you and hopefully maybe carry out tasks, but that's still several years away. I don't believe the companies or even the analysts that claim that robots are going to be doing your laundry and doing your dishes at home in a year. No, I don't think so. Not at all. That's several years away at any cost. Doesn't matter what the cost is. They just don't have that kind of dexterity yet. You know, doing the dishes is an especially difficult task because one wrong move and you break stuff. You don't want your robot breaking all your dishes. What happened, Robbie the robot? You know, throwing dishes against the walls, whatever. Good thing it knows how to sweep up broken dishes. Get to it, you know. So it's several years away, but this is going to revolutionize human civilization. I have no question about that. And I think Elon Musk is right about this point, that robots will become the largest industry on planet Earth. More people will own robots than own cars. No question about it. People will own robots who don't even own homes because they'll have a robot with them in their apartment. And the robot will be doing, you know, all the tasks that they need done in the apartment. And the robot will be out doing chores, going grocery shopping for them, which will probably result in the emergence of a robot kidnapping industry. Now, I do want to pose a question here. What do you think about the fact that they're using a female form here in particular with synthetic breasts? Because clearly somebody somewhere along the line is going to want to do something to this robot because they're turned on by it, right? We've covered in the past, we've covered the furries and we've covered the people that hump vehicles. There's probably a name for that. Volkswagen humper? I don't know, something. But somebody's going to want to hump this robot, you know? Maybe even some gay dude is going to want to hump the male robot. I don't know. I imagine that would be incredibly disappointing because it's just an illusion. It's still like a Terminator exoskeleton underneath. But I think psychologically, culturally, even in terms of, you know, relationships, think about the fact that right now, especially young males are falling in love with AI girlfriend chatbots. Okay? They're falling in love with chatbots. It's not even real. But they have an emotional attachment to the chatbot. And they're having what's called AI psychosis, you know, where they get enthralled into this spiral of obsession with the AI girlfriend. And some people end up in psych wards or emergency rooms. It's crazy. Now imagine when the AI girlfriend is installed into the AI physical robot. Then you're going to get, trust me, I mean, I can already see the headlines. This is not difficult to see. You're going to see dudes somewhere around the world that are going to marry their robots. They're going to sleep with them. They're going to take them out to dinner. You know, they're going to take them out to dinner. Actually, there was my friend Michael Yan. He was sending me pictures of a Japanese guy that has this giant anime character doll. And apparently in Japanese anime, there's a very famous character that has like crazy long blue hair, like all the way down to her feet. And she's got giant eyes, you know, like anime. And I don't know the name of this character, but it's a very, very famous female avatar type of character in anime. But this Japanese guy has, like, he's I think he's married this anime doll, and he's in love with it, and he takes it everywhere he can. And if a restaurant won't let him take the full-size doll in, he has a smaller version of the doll that's like Chucky doll size, you know? It's like 2 feet tall. He takes that in. It's the proxy for the anime, for the full-size doll. Wow. And I guess you could have, as George Carlin says, an even smaller version of your stuff. You could have, you know, you could have like a 5-inch tall little doll version of the smaller doll in your pocket. So, you know, you sneak into a movie theater and then you whip out your girlfriend out of your pocket. Ah, you want to see a movie, honey? Yeah, check this out. Like, that is happening now. And those dolls don't even talk. Imagine when the dolls start talking and start telling people like love stories and things. Oh my God, this is going to be so confusing to the young neurology of a desperate, horny male. You know, I mean, seriously, this is going to destroy marriages and couples and people making babies and stuff. They're going to be humping robots all day and not having babies. And maybe that's part of the plan. Maybe that's part of the plan. I don't know. But we are not going to explore this theme with actual robots, obviously. We're going to focus on gardening skills, pulling weeds. We might have some robot fights. You know, why not? Let's see if they'll beat each other to a pulp. I don't know. But I'm sure that somebody out there, lots of people are gonna get a little bit too emotionally involved, or even like sexually excited by their robots. It's like, that's the first time I've had a woman in the house for, you know, 12 years. It's not a woman. It's a robot with paper mache breasts. Okay, that's not the same thing. But I would imagine that ER doctors are going to see all kinds of new weird injuries of people trying to hump their robots. I knew an ER doctor from many years ago. I mean, I've known a lot of doctors over the years, and this guy, especially, is an ER doc, and as all ER doctors know, how to say this politely, ER doctors are the people who know more than anybody else in society what kinds of things people put in their rectums. And the reason ER doctors know that is because they're always extracting these things. Sometimes after these things have snapped off or broken or whatever. And I'm not going to make this graphic at all, so don't worry. But ER doctors, believe me, if some of you listening, if you're an ER doctor, you know what you've seen. You don't talk about it. It's like, what happens in the ER room stays in the ER room, because we don't talk about that. Yeah, I know you don't, because it's crazy. But you're going to have a whole new wave of interesting injuries. So be ready for that. Like asking the patient, so tell me how this happened. Well, I got this robot, you know, oh my God, where is this story going? It makes me wonder if like Tesla is going to have a disclaimer when they sell robots to people, a giant warning on the front page, like, do not bleep this robot. It is not bleepable. You bleeping moron. So we'll see. Danger, Will Robinson, danger. Yeah, remember that? That was the robot from Lost in Space, a show from the 1960s, where the robot was just a guy with his arms flailing about in laundry vents. That's what they use. They use like a 6-inch laundry vent cylinders on his arms. Danger, Will Robinson. Yeah, nobody tried to hump that robot. It's like, be like pork in a dryer, I suppose. Yeah. But hey, whatever happens, it's going to have a lot of material for comedy. I can't wait to see the comedians take up this topic. It's going to be great. And of course, we'll have lots of material here on the podcast based on what's happening in the news. This is really going to be fun. Hey, a quick note, if you go to brightu.com, you can sign up for the remaining days of the streaming of the Regenesis docuseries, put together by Jonathan Otto, with all kinds of amazing interviews. That is streaming right now, today, and through November 9th, by the way. That's at BrightU, that's the letter U, brightu.com. And during this streaming, that is all the way through November 9th, you can save 25% off of the Red Life infrared and red light devices at healthrangerstore.com/redlife. All one word. healthrangerstore.com/redlife. And if you watch the stream, you'll learn about these lights and the frequencies and how this photo activates cellular regeneration, and even in some cases, neurogeneration, and a lot more. So check out the docuseries. I think you'll learn a lot. Now let's talk about robots that people aren't going to try to hump. John Deere robots. Okay. John Deere has kind of a robot that attaches to a tractor, and it's called the See and Spray technology, which is, so this is a long, long arm that attaches to the front. I think it's the front, maybe it's the back of your tractor. Yeah, it's probably the back. And it uses a bunch of cameras and AI technology to identify weeds. As you drive forward through the rows of your crops, it identifies weeds, and then it sprays just the weeds with, of course, herbicide, you know, like glyphosate probably. So I'm not endorsing the use of glyphosate on crops, obviously, but what this technology does is it reduces the use of glyphosate by about 50%. So let's see. Joshua Ladd, the marketing manager at John Deere, said, quote, "With See and Spray, farmers can save on input costs, improve weed control, boost yields, and increase their sustainability all in one pass." So you can drive your tractor forward at up to 15 miles per hour, and then it scans 2,500 square feet per second as you're moving forward because of these long boom arms. And then it identifies weeds and it triggers individual spray nozzles to spray the individual weeds. Okay. So one of the advantages of automation in agriculture is that you're going to have robots of various forms, whether they're attached to the back of a tractor or sort of an autonomous vehicle or just a humanoid robot walking around with a, you know, with a glyphosate can. Whatever the format is going to be, they're going to be able to individually spray weeds and not just dump herbicide all over all the crops. Now, if you think about it, this is actually good news for organic agriculture, because organic agriculture suffers from the difficulty of how do you control weeds without using herbicides. And of course, you're not going to use GMOs in organic agriculture either. So you don't have, you know, Roundup ready crops where you can just saturate the whole field. So robots and organic agriculture go hand in hand. In my view, they do. And this is why I'm so excited about robots doing home gardening and home farming, you know, crop production on a small scale. It's actually a perfect match because, I mean, what have I said for half a year now? It's like, I want a weed pulling robot, right? Why? Well, because weeds are the number one thing that just takes your time and destroys your crops. And who wants to run around weeding all day, every day during certain times, you know, springtime, the weeds are just going crazy. And if you fall 5 days behind, you know, it's over. You've lost it. The weeds have taken over. So having a robot running around, either pulling weeds or, in this case, individually spraying a small amount of herbicide on the weeds, that would be non-organic agriculture. These approaches will actually improve crop yields, whether it's organic or conventional. But for organic, I love this because the robots will just pull the weeds. You know, you don't need any herbicide at all. You grab the weed and pull it. Or maybe they'll have a tool like a weed pulling, you know, replaceable hand. You know, like they take their hand off and then a weed puller goes on the arm socket, you know, and now it's a weed pulling robot. Whatever. I'm not sure how it's going to work. Or maybe their hand will grip a weed pulling tool in the same way that a human would. That's probably more likely, actually, is just to use their hands to work like human hands and grip all the tools. So they'll be pulling weeds, and then they'll be harvesting crops, and they'll also be inspecting your crops for any kind of signs of disease or pest infestations or mineral deficiencies, like what are these yellow spots on these leaves, or lack of water, you know, whatever. The robots will use AI and they'll use their visual acuity to take a look at the crops and make some decisions and probably make some recommendations over what you can do. So this is actually good for organic agriculture. And I think it will make organic produce a lot less expensive over time because robot labor will be a lot cheaper than human labor, even human agricultural labor, which today consists of a lot of illegal migrant labor. But even that labor is more expensive than what the robots will cost. Although this is several years out, okay? I'm not saying next year. Don't misinterpret what I'm saying here. This is not even going to be widespread in 2027 or 28. This is more like in the 2030s, you're going to have large-scale deployment of agricultural robots. Until then, we're going to need human pickers and human cultivators, whatever. But the robots are going to replace humans. I'm pivoting the topic here now to the replacements. So robots are replacing humans like crazy all over the economy right now. And I've covered this in the previous broadcasts, so I'm not going to go into huge detail here. But this is not a fad. It's not a temporary thing. This is just the leading edge of a massive wave of robot replacements that's going to see unemployment rates in certain fields of up to 80%, or I should say displacement rates. So in customer service, customer support, for example, that's going to be about an 80% rate of humans being fired and replaced by AI, because that doesn't even require a robot. That's all just agentic AI software. And I covered yesterday the Goldman Sachs report that talked about all the different areas, professional activity, job roles, etc., that are going to be replaced by AI. And it's a massive list, and it will affect millions of people in America next year. So this is going to happen quickly, whereas the robots are many years out because of the complexity and the supply chains of physical manufacturing. But agentic AI spreads at the speed of the internet. And agentic AI will be taking over millions of jobs in the U.S. next year alone, not to mention the year after, and then continuing. So we are going to be dealing with quite an astonishing wave of unemployed people, especially younger people who do not have a lot of job experience, and then they're going to be caught in a horrible catch-22, which is they can't get a job because they don't have experience, but they can't get experience because they can't get a job, because the robots do everything better than an entry-level person. But the only way to get to a senior-level person is to start as an entry-level person, right? And then learn the ropes of your domain and move up in the company year after year as you learn more stuff. And then eventually you become a senior-level, I don't know, manager, whatever, senior-level person or an executive. But the pathway to getting there is now being cut off for younger people. There's no pathway to that because of AI replacement of a lot of these jobs. So the net effect of this is going to be absolutely catastrophic for the economy. You're going to see, I forgot to mention the latest number on consumer debt in America. It has been raised from $18 trillion to $18.6 trillion, I think is the, $18.6 trillion. Household debt hits $18.6 trillion. So this is student loans, this is home loans, car loans, and medical debt, along with some other smaller forms of like personal loans and lines of credit, things like that. But those first four that I mentioned there, those are the big four. And right now, student loan defaults are absolutely exploding, and also auto loan defaults are exploding, and the subprime auto loan companies are crashing and going bankrupt, like three of them so far, just in the last few weeks. And that's going to accelerate. Well, what I'm trying to say, and I really don't hear anybody else saying this, nobody has said this that I've seen, is that, you know, what happens when you've got a wave of unemployment of millions and ultimately tens of millions of Americans who owe a lot of money, who are completely out of work and cannot get jobs because of the AI replacements? Then you're going to have massive defaults on consumer debt. So not just student loan defaults, but home loan defaults, car loan defaults, medical debt defaults, right? All of it. And this is starting to look like The Big Short, you know, like subprime mortgage collapse of 2008. That's hitting the auto industry right now, and it's going to hit homes probably starting next year, but lasting for a few years following that. It could be 2026 through 28, let's say, or maybe even all the way through 2030. You're going to see a wave of defaults, and then this is going to cause failures of the financial institutions that hold the debt. So remember, for every consumer that declares, you know, bankruptcy or default and stops paying, there's a financial institution on the other side of that loan that takes a loss. And in the case of student loans, well, that's the government on the other side. So the government can eat the loss because it can print unlimited amounts of currency, and it does. But for things like car loans and home loans, typically those are banks or financial institutions, although there can be government guarantees for certain types of home loans, etc. But overall, those are financial institutions that are going to see a wave of defaults. And this is going to cause bank failures. And I'm just guessing right now that the bank failure wave is going to really accelerate in 2027. So that's more than a year away, because they can put off bank failures for quite a long time, even as the consumer debt failures may happen earlier, beginning in 2026. But I'm looking at bank failures galore in 2027, which means massive government bailouts. And if Trump is still president at the time, if he's not impeached by that time, we'll see. If the Democrats sweep into power after the midterms, you know, they'll try to impeach him immediately. But unless the Senate votes on it, he doesn't, you know, he's not removed from office. So whatever, we'll see. But if Trump is president, he's going to take the blame for this catastrophic economic reality that's going to kick in during the Trump administration. Remember, the next presidential election is 2028. And between now and 2028, our economic situation is going to be cata-freaking-strophic. Bad. And usually when economic problems emerge, the president gets the blame. What was the saying during, was it the Clinton years? It's the economy, stupid. Remember that saying? It's the economy, stupid. When the economy is good, the president is popular. When the economy's bad, the president's unpopular. Right now, the economy's bad. Now, I know Trump has been giving speeches and saying everything's great, America's great, it's the best economy in the world. He said it's a new golden age. Doesn't feel like a golden age to all the people getting laid off and replaced by AI. It feels like a dumpster age, you know? And that's happening to a lot of people. And this is part of the reason why the Republicans just got ransacked in the election on Tuesday, with Mamdani, of course, winning the mayorship of New York City. And I said he was a communist. I guess officially he claims to be a socialist, not a communist. So that I should correct that. He claims to be a socialist. Okay. Let's see how that goes. I think that's going to be catastrophic. But the fact that he got elected is because people are suffering. People are suffering. The 42 million Americans that have lost their food stamps, which is a whole different discussion. You know, there's hundreds of thousands of Americans that have lost their jobs because of AI. The economy is in the dumps. Supply chains have been destroyed by tariffs. Small businesses are shutting down left and right. And consumer spending it's fallen off a cliff. I mean, every retailer is suffering big time. And those of you listening, if you own a business, if you own an online e-commerce business, you know what I'm talking about. Consumers are spending less and less and less because they just don't have the discretionary income that they used to have. And that's having a massive impact. And when people are unhappy, they vote against the party that's in power. And that's what we just saw, or at least that's part of it. All right, now, I have written a song here. Well, let me explain. I use, of course, AI I use our AI engine to create the lyrics based on a long description that I put in it. And then I use the lyrics with Suno and some prompting about the musical style. And remember, I'm a fairly accomplished musician, been writing music since a very early age. And I produced lots of songs before AI. And maybe you've seen some of those songs in the past, you know, like Vaccine Zombie or I Want My Bailout Money, things like that. So I know a lot about musical styles and so on. And so I wanted I wanted industrial percussion style for this song, which is indicative of this robotic industrial revolution. And in my mind, when I'm writing this prompt, I'm thinking about kind of a Linkin Park type of percussion track. Vocals not quite as angry as Linkin Park, but this song that you're about to see with an accompanying music video is it's about humans being replaced by AI. It's called The Replacements, and it's a sad, dramatic song. So I'm just going to go ahead and play that for you right now. Just wanted to tell you where it came from first, how I created it. It wasn't difficult. It took me all of about, 30 minutes maybe to put this together. And it's very good because Suno version 5, which is what I use, is incredibly good now at composing music. It's much better than it was even a year ago. And just check this out. Check out the quality of the vocals, the quality of the instruments, etc. And of course, you know, I gave it good directions, but Suno works miracles these days. The music it produces is just extraordinary. I'm blown away by it, actually. So here we go. Here's a song and music video, The Replacements. And I've also posted this as a separate video on my channel on Brightown.com and Rumble. And I'm going to post it on X also. So you can share the separate, if you just want to share the music video, you can share that separately. All right, here we go.
Silicon mines, leaving flesh and blood behind at a fraction of the cost they say, taking every job away, white collar workers at their desks, blue collar hands put to the test, the algorithm never rests while we're all failing every test. 18 trillion in the red, car loans, homes and hospital beds, student debt that never ends, but who will pay when no one spends? The banks will crumble one by one when the defaults have begun. Machine cognition takes the lead while human hearts can only bleed. The trucks at night, the agents type with perfect sight, no lunch breaks and no sick days, no raises and no holiday pay. Big tech grows richer by the hour, consolidating all the power. The automated age has come, but where do we go when we're done? We are the replacements.
sick waves approaching fast. How long can any human last? When cognition bows to code and every worker hits the road, unemployed and unemployable, our future's looking unliable. Homes and dreams foreclosed and sold, a story we've been told.
All right, hope you enjoyed that song, The Replacements. Now, I want to switch gears here and play a video for you. It's about 3 minutes from our friend Matt Kim. And Matt Kim, I've interviewed him twice now, and I've been a big fan of his videos, and he's such a pro-liberty person, very sharp. He's an entrepreneur, an innovator, a freedom fighter, all those things and more. And in this video, he's reacting to what just happened in the election, where the GOP got slapped hard, a big slap back because of the state of the economy and probably also Trump's continued support of war criminal Netanyahu. I've seen a lot of comments that say Trump tying the GOP to Israel is political suicide. So there are a number of factors, but the economy is definitely one of them. So let's listen to Matt Kim explain this, because I think it makes a lot of sense. Here we go.
Can we have an honest discussion about the state of politics in America? Because last night, Democrats swept the ballots. Not just the big ones like mayor of New York City and governors of Virginia and New Jersey, but in key swing states across the country, local elections and districts flipped from leaning red to blue. Latest polls show Trump's approval rating among people under 30 has dropped to 20% and 37% overall. It was well over 50% at inauguration. And I tried to tell you this during the recent No Kings rally. A huge proportion of Americans are not happy with how things are going. And yet the MAGA right tried to say I was delusional. But you just can't call everything you don't want to hear fake news. Being in denial, it doesn't change reality. I said it then, and I'll say it again. Americans are fed up with being told the economy is good just because the stock market is up, while restaurants and small businesses are clearly struggling. Inflation is up, unemployment is back up, and the Fed just printed another $30 billion in brand new money by turning on their infinite money printer. Cash flow among the general population has dried up. You take what feels like an unstable champagne bubble economy and then layer on massed federal troops going into cities, body slamming both Americans and non-Americans like they're on World Star, ICE agents cosplaying as Liam Neeson in Taken, and the wars, the never-ending wars, non-stop outflow of U.S. tax dollars to fund other countries' problems. The so-called ceasefire, after the demolition of schools and hospitals, women and children still in them, all to rebuild with luxury hotels and condos, most Americans do not feel good about being complicit in that. The weight of that injustice sits heavy on our collective soul. I think most Americans could tolerate, or at least humor, the bravado and gloating of this administration if the economy was at least strong. When people are broke, the AI sludge memes and dismissive labeling of every uncomfortable truth as fake news, it gets old really fast. Let me give you a quick reality check. Trump has 1 year left to make significant improvements in this country. If there's no progress, Republicans will lose control of Congress in next year's midterms, and Trump will be in full lame duck mode. And I know I've been really hard on Trump and the MAGA right this year, But that's not my fault. We were given a clear plan during their campaign, and we've fallen so far off course that's impossible to ignore. I don't want the right to lose, actually. I want them to do better, to work on the things we were promised. Trust the plan, it's 4D chess. Oh, clearly, I'm not the only one feeling it.
Okay, there you go, Matt Kim. He just has such a wonderful way of explaining things succinctly, doesn't he? And I think that he is reflecting what most Americans resonate with right now. People are really hurting in terms of incomes. Inflation is horrible. And then we have Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent that comes along and tells us that inflation is low and there's more jobs than ever before and we've got full employment or nearly full and our economy is great. And then Trump says it's a golden age. Man, I tweeted, I said, Scott Bessent is the Trump administration's Baghdad Bob. Remember Baghdad Bob back during the Gulf War? He was the PR spinmeister for, you know, Saddam Hussein. And no matter how many bombs dropped on Saddam Hussein and killed all his troops, Baghdad Bob was like, ah, just a scratch, you know. That was Baghdad Bob. That's a reference to Monty Python, Black Knight, of course. But that's what Trump and Bessent are like now. They're just gaslighting us, constantly gaslighting us, telling us this is a golden age. Yeah, it's a golden age if you're on the receiving end of Trump's mega trillion dollar handouts to corporations like, you know, Mark Zuckerberg and Bill Gates and Google and OpenAI. Yeah, if you're one of about 10 people in America, or if you're close enough to the Trump administration that you know when he's going to announce the next crazy tariff, then you can short the market before that. You can make a fortune. Or when Trump is going to abandon a tariff, you know, you can go long on that commodity right before. I mean, there's so much insider trading going on right now. It's disgusting. The economy sucks for most Americans. It's great for a very tiny circle of people around Trump, like his family. It sucks for everybody else. And I'm afraid that Trump has once again allowed himself to be surrounded by people who are controlling everything that he sees and hears, to the point where I'm not even sure that Trump has any idea of the reality of what's happening across America. I think he's completely isolated from the American people. And as long as his advisors, who are all pro-Zionist, pro-Israel, pro-genocide people, by the way, you don't even get the job if you don't support all that. His people are telling him everything's great. The numbers are great. And then Trump takes the microphone and repeats it. It's a golden age. Look how great we are, how strong we are. We're the envy of the world. The whole world wants to be as strong as us and our military and our currency. And it's like, dude, what planet are you on? You're not even living in America and you claim to run it. He's so isolated from reality, just detached. It's a little frightening, actually, because you and I know, I mean, we don't have a team of advisors telling us what is. We go out to the grocery store like, this is expensive. Or you get a health insurance renewal notice and the rates have gone up, you know, another 27%. Or you're trying to, I mean, whatever you're trying to afford, it's getting more and more expensive, including home insurance, car insurance, whatever. It's all more expensive. You go shop at Costco or Sam's Club or whatever. Even there, everything's way more expensive. Prices have doubled in a couple of years. The inflation is not 2.9%. It's for many items, it's over 20%. And across the board, it's probably closer to 15 to 20%. But we're just being lied to constantly by Scott Bessent and President Trump and Howard Lutnick and the whole cabal, which increasingly looks like a Hunger Games mafia of people who are looting the country while the country's collapsing. That's what it looks like. They're looting the treasury for their own personal gain while the American people don't know where they're going to get their next meal for 42 million Americans anyway, and quite a lot of others. So this situation is political suicide for the GOP if they continue on this course. My prediction is if Trump doesn't make significant changes, he needs to evict the Zionist crazies out of the party. He needs to put America first. He needs to embrace Thomas Massey. He needs to get back to the promises that he made. Got to release the Epstein files instead of covering it up. Got to have a real investigation of Charlie Kirk instead of the current FBI cover-up, which is a total clown show of lies. You know, we got to invest in infrastructure for the American people, not just send more money to Israel or send more money to Ukraine, send more bombs and tanks and weapons and fighter jets to everybody else while we suffer at home. That's not going to fly. And my prediction is that if Trump doesn't significantly change course, the GOP is going to get wiped out of the majority in the midterms next year. The Democrats will sweep into power with a strong House majority and probably will take the Senate at the same time. And then, just like Matt Kim said, Trump's going to be a lame duck president. And they're just going to run out the clock on him for the next 2 years while he screams and shouts and continues to loot the economy for his family members and his friends, leaving America destitute. And then the Democrats, if we still have a country by 2028, the Democrats will almost certainly win that election, and the Democrats are back in power. And when the Democrats take the White House again, if that happens, they are going to carry out mass arrests of Trump and all the top Trump officials. I'm not kidding. And you know how we have said that Trump needs to carry out mass arrests of all the traitors who rigged the 2020 election? And yet that hasn't happened, has it? Not at all. Nothing even close. It's so critical that that happened. Not happening. The DOJ is a lame duck. The FBI, totally compromised. Like, this reminds me of Trump's first term. Now, Jeff Sessions sitting around twiddling his thumbs, getting nothing done. But when the Democrats come into power, they're going to, on day one, they're going to have an arrest list of probably, you know, 500 top Trump people, Trump supporters, Trump officials, Trump himself, Trump business associates, you know, everybody who ever got close to Trump is going to get arrested and criminally prosecuted by the Democrats. And Trump is giving them all kinds of evidence to use against him with, for example, his tariff tantrums, announcing these crazy, insane tariffs out of the blue, which is utterly unconstitutional. He'll just one day announce, oh, there's a 50% tariff on India. And then the next day, there's a 100% tariff on China. And then a week later, oh, we're just kidding. No tariff on China, but yeah, we're going to keep it on India because India is our friends and we punish our friends more than our enemies. So 50% on India, 10% on China. How about that? We'll go 10%. And as you may know, the Supreme Court just heard the oral arguments in the lawsuit that challenges Trump's tariff authority. And the oral arguments went so badly for the Trump administration that Polymarket, the betting market platform, the odds are now 90% that the Supreme Court overturns or renders Trump's tariffs unconstitutional. 90%. That's very close to certainty. And it will be the right decision because Trump's tariffs are unconstitutional. And Trump is wreaking havoc on supply chains, on small businesses. It's causing parts shortages. It's causing inflation, you know, cost increases for consumers and businesses across the United States. Trump is just decimating the U.S. economy with his tariffs. And of course, it's wildly unconstitutional because the Constitution says that right belongs only with Congress, not with the president. He's using some 1977 emergency law that doesn't even mention tariffs. He's using that as justification. And he's going to get smacked down on that. And when that happens, then Besant is not going to be able to brag about how much money we're raising on tariffs, which is another tax on the American people. And probably the government's going to have to refund all those tariffs. Yeah, we'll probably get a refund too at our business because we've been paying tariffs on just food products like importing turmeric, you know, organic turmeric from India. And you know, other products from other countries. We've been paying tariffs. So maybe we'll get a refund. It'd be the only money we ever get from the Trump administration is the money we already paid that they held on to. Unbelievable. So when this happens, you know, Trump is going to scream victim, but he's wrong on this point. And he's frankly, he's got to be stopped on this. He's wrecking our economy. He's wrecking our country's reputation. He's dragging us into wars. He's got us complicit in genocide in the Middle East. He's taking us to the brink of nuclear war with Russia. I mean, he's testing nuclear weapons now to try to provoke Russia. I mean, it's insane. It's really insane. And I'm not saying that I certainly don't want Kamala Harris as president, didn't want Joe Biden. Joe Biden was already an Alzheimer's patient. You know, that was the auto pen presidency. I'm glad Trump won, but I expected more. I expected better. I expected Trump to demonstrate real leadership and to put America first and to actually work for the American people. And what we got instead is just another abandonment of principles, selling us out to foreign interests, having the entire Trump administration infiltrated by crazed, insane, genocidal Zionists, and Trump wrecking our domestic economy while people are being thrust out of their jobs and can't afford to eat. That's where we are today in November of 2025. If this continues for a year, Democrats will sweep into power in the House, and then, you know, once the new Democrats are sworn in the following January, I believe it is, they're going to impeach Trump immediately. I mean, they'll start the proceedings immediately. They will have him impeached by March of 2027. And then it'll come down to a Senate vote. So, and who knows? The GOP senators might vote to impeach Trump by that time. Even though Trump is supporting Lindsey Graham, which is insane, while Trump is attacking Thomas Massie? Are you kidding me? This is an upside-down world. So that's why people are fed up with what Trump is doing, and Trump's got a very limited window of opportunity to turn things around. But I think that the people surrounding him, his advisors, you know, Susie Wiles and others, I think they're all tone-deaf. I think they're giving him horrible advice. They're isolating him from reality, probably. And they're all run by Israel. So this is the Zionist administration. It's MEGA, not MAGA. Make Israel great again, not MAGA. That's what we're living under right now. And Trump's sacrificing the American economy to try to appease Israel. That's what's happening. The American people are suffering so that Israel can carry out more genocide and steal more land and more resources from its neighbors. That's what's going on. It's disgusting. Trump will probably be prosecuted as a war criminal when this is all over, after he's out of office. I would not be surprised if he's indicted by the ICC or even indicted by a future DOJ of the United States, indicted for all kinds of crimes. I would not be surprised if Trump spends his remaining days in prison. Really, I wouldn't be surprised. So probably he realizes that, and maybe that's why he wants a civil war and he wants World War III and he wants mass chaos so that he can remain in power indefinitely and put troops on the streets and declare martial law and cancel the First Amendment and the Fourth Amendment and roll out Palantir and have a technocratic surveillance state with drone surveillance over every major U.S. city, which has already begun. That seems to be Trump's plan. Is that what you voted for, if you voted for Trump? You may recall I did not vote for Trump for some of these very reasons, because I anticipated a lot of this. But if you voted for Trump, did you vote for that? Are you getting what you voted for? Probably not. Probably not. So we'll see where this goes. Now, because the economy is going to completely suck for years to come, there's going to be a new wave of, well, a whole industry of salvaging metals out of commercial buildings. This is job security. So if you're wondering what you can do after the robots replace you in the workplace, you can become a salvage expert where you can get salvage rights to abandoned commercial buildings, and you can go in and salvage the copper, the aluminum, the wire, the whatever. And that's going to be a living for a lot of people. It's going to be many years of salvage operations, basically, you know, stripping old commercial buildings and maybe some residential buildings or even residential neighborhoods. So I've got a special report on that. I'm going to play that next, followed by a report about the Brightown AI models running on the de-Googled phones from Above Phone. I've got some additional details for you on that. And then I've got one more special report about watching out for the digital ID trap. You do not want to get caught in the digital ID trap that Trump is setting. He and his technocrats are trying to sweep you into a digital ID so they can control you. They can surveil you. They can limit your purchases. They can monitor everything you do. So those three special reports are coming right up. Just want to give credit today to our sponsor, the Satellite Phone Store at SAT123.com for all your backup communications there. And they also work with Starlink. And you can find their Starlink systems, which are blazing fast, at Starlink123.com. And of course, when you want to shore up your clean foods, certified organic foods, storable foods, plus we've got freeze-dried fruits and vegetables in number 10 steel cans for long-term storage, many years. You can get all of that at our website, healthrangerstore.com, healthrangerstore.com. And remember that we've got the Red Life sale going on right now. That's healthrangerstore.com/redlife, R-E-D-L-I-F-E, no space. Be sure to use all of our free tools, censored.news, brightu.com, and vaccineforensics.com. And check out more articles each day at naturalnews.com. And with that said, enjoy the rest of the show, which is these three special reports, all kind of ominous, actually. Well, some of it's, maybe some of it's inspiring. But enjoy the rest of the show. I'll be back with you tomorrow with a whole new interview. Take care. One of the jobs that's going to have tremendous value for many years to come, and that which cannot be easily automated, is the job of salvaging metals. And I don't mean just what you might think of as metal salvage right now, but what I mean is, as the economy implodes and depopulation accelerates, we're going to see a mass evacuation of things like commercial buildings. And in some areas, you know, private homes, etc. But commercial buildings in particular, they are loaded with large amounts of copper and aluminum, just in terms of the electrical wiring. But also in other elements that are used in commercial construction, you'll find various metals here and there. Well, because of the extremely high demand for these metals when it comes to building data centers, and again, even if it's just the robots building the data centers, like they're going to need metals, and there will be intrinsic demand and intrinsic premiums for those metals. Well, you're going to be able to go into commercial buildings often as, let's say, the right-of-way is auctioned off, you know, because the building's completely abandoned, nobody's going to use it ever again. But they don't want to just demolish it, so they would sell off the rights to somebody to go in and do a salvage operation. That's going to be a lucrative career. People will go in and pull the wiring out of the building. Robots won't be able to do that for a long, long time because it's a very labor-intensive job. It's actually difficult to pull those wires, you know? I mean, some of them require a lot of force to pull through all the conduit. But somebody's going to have that job to go in there and reclaim all that wire. And the thing is, when the wire comes out of those buildings, some of it, because of its extreme length, some of it's usable as is. Like literally some of it you can just take and use it in a new project. For other pieces that might be shorter, they could be melted down and then refined into new, you know, new cabling or new wires or what have you. But a lot of it just be able to be used as is, and it will have extreme value. You know, some of that stuff is $5 a foot, you know, seriously, especially in commercial operations. And the heavier gauge stuff is even more than that. Also, along with the wiring, you're going to have lights, you're going to have switches, circuit breakers, a lot of fundamental infrastructure in commercial buildings that will be available and that will last a long time. You know, it doesn't expire. Wires don't expire. Now, as far as residential buildings go, as the depopulation accelerates and more people are abandoning homes, because that will eventually occur, you're going to have a glut of not only the home wiring, but also home appliances. So there will be a market for salvaging home appliances, you know, washers, dryers, etc., refrigerators, and then repurposing those or reinstalling those in the homes of people who haven't yet been killed off by the robot apocalypse or other means. Because there's always going to be a demand, some level of demand for appliances. People want refrigerators that work. People want, you know, window air conditioning units, etc., washers and dryers. And some of these homes may have amazing surprises inside, such as, you know, I don't, a hidden jewelry collection, or I don't know, somebody's old firearm somewhere. I mean, there could be all kinds of different things that are found in terms of salvage operations inside homes. Now, one of the things to realize in this is that not every city is going to collapse at the same time. You're going to have some cities collapse in places like Collapsifornia. And who knows, maybe New York City, if New York City begins being run by this communist guy that seemingly is going to win the election, you're going to see a mass exodus out of some of these cities. And you're going to see a financial collapse of California also. But then you'll have other cities, like right now in Texas, cities that are growing like crazy. Dallas, Fort Worth, you know, Austin, etc. So what you're going to have is salvage operations in the collapsing cities with the reclamation of wiring and appliances and so on, and then shipping that over to the newer cities where they can be used in, you know, new homes, new apartments, or new construction. So now you're actually repurposing old materials and old appliances, and hey, that's called recycling, you know? That's called green. So you're saving the planet while you're also salvaging wiring out of homes in cities that have collapsed. That's going to happen, I believe. And I think it's actually not that far off. There are some cities in America that are just absolutely unsustainable, especially if we start to have power grid problems. And that seems increasingly likely, by the way. So I think a lot of this is coming. So be aware of all of this and stay up to date with all the news trends. You can visit my website, censored.news, which has been remade with all kinds of AI analysis of emerging news trends. And we spider about 80 censored websites now for alternative media. And that will keep you up to date on what's actually happening in the world. So check it out. And you can follow me at brightown.social or naturalnews.com or brightown.com for all of my podcasts and interviews. So thank you for listening. Take care. Okay, some pretty big news on the freedom front here, which is that the Above Phone company that we've been partnering with for a couple of years now, they are now shipping their notebook computers and their phones, which are de-Googled phones, that is the high-end phones, with our 12 billion parameter standalone AI model that is amazing. The model's pre-installed and it runs locally. So you do not need an internet connection to run our AI model on these phones. So just go to abovephone.com/Brighteon and you'll see the specials there. They've got them on sale, $300 off on one of the high-end phones for the Black Friday sale. There is a strictly limited inventory, so just, you know, be aware of that. They don't have unlimited numbers of these phones. But they're pre-installed with a language model, which is the same model that we run at Brighteon.ai. And it's highly, highly trained with hundreds of millions of pages of content. I mean, it's if I even, oh my goodness, it took us 2 years just to curate all the data that went into this model. And it's all about natural cures. It's all about home food production. It's all about honest money. It's all about survival and preparedness. And it knows so much about phytochemistry and disease reversals, cancer cures, you know, healthy eating recipes, ingredients, you name it. It is the best informed AI model in the world by far. Nothing else even comes close in these domains of knowledge. So you can download the model for free and you can install it yourself, but it won't run on most phones. You have to have a high-end phone to run it. And that's what Above Phone has available now. So just go to abovephone.com/Brighteon and you will see the models, the phones, the availability there. And again, it comes pre-installed. So how cool is that? Now, the reason this matters so much is because for the first time in human history, you have instant access to essentially the entirety of human knowledge. Now, yes, it's been compacted into 12 billion parameters. 12 billion is a lot. So this is a lot of knowledge. And the feedback I'm getting from people is they're just shocked how much this language model even knows. It knows a lot. And in order to build this model, we took an open source off-the-shelf model from the Mistral company known as NEMO 12B, or Open NEMO. And then we heavily modified it. And then we released our model, also free of charge, to the public. And that's what you get on this phone. And again, it runs offline. So you can put your phone in airplane mode, and you can still use the AI model. So this means that nobody can censor you from using this model, and nobody can spy on you. No one can surveil you. No one knows what you're using it for research or writing or whatever, you know. I mean, it can summarize documents, it can expand documents, it can write things. It's incredibly powerful. And you can use it. It's unlimited, it's free, it's private, and it comes shipped on the de-Googled phones from abovephone.com/Brighteon. So that's a huge deal. Take advantage of this. And if you don't, maybe you can't afford a new phone or you don't want a new phone, that's fine. You can use our AI model for free online. Just go to brighteon.ai and that will forward you to brightu.ai. And there you can use the model unlimited for free. Yeah. I mean, how cool is that? The world's knowledge at your fingertips. Unlimited use, zero cost. Now, what can you use it for? I mean, you can use it as a research tool, for one thing. You can use it to analyze food ingredients. It will recommend recipes. You can use it as a business coach. It can be a wellness coach. You can ask it about your health challenges, or you can talk to it about your health goals, and it will walk you through the steps in order to achieve what you are trying to achieve. It knows all about symptoms. It knows all about side effects of prescription drugs. It knows all about the anti-cancer effects of herbs and superfoods and nutrients and so much more. It knows all of this. It knows more about nutrition than I do. And I know more about nutrition than most humans. I mean, it knows more about nutrition than any human. It's really extraordinary. So this is a pivot point for humanity to have decentralized local knowledge at your fingertips that cannot be censored, where we have also extracted the pharma bias out of the model. We've overwritten the pharma bias with information about herbs and natural health and things like that. And so it's going to give you by far the best answers that you've ever seen better than Grok, better than ChatGPT, better than Gemini, better than anything that exists in the world today in the realm of AI. These answers are better. You can use it to research vaccines. And if you want to see a demonstration of that, just go to the website that we've launched called vaccineforensics.com, and you can use the online version there and just search for whatever you want or ask it any question you want about vaccines, vaccine ingredients, vaccine side effects, the history of research, history of fraud, etc. It will cover all of that. That's vaccineforensics.com. Or just go to brighteon.ai if you want to use our model for any topic. You know, the vaccineforensics.com website is limited to vaccine questions or COVID questions, things like that. But the brighteon.ai has no domain limits on the topic area. You can ask it about anything you want. It may or may not give you a good answer. Like if you ask it about, I don't know, celebrity news or something, it's not going to know that because I don't care about that stuff. And I didn't train it on any of that. And I'm not going to. But if you want to ask it, hey, what phytochemicals are found in turmeric and tell me the anti-cancer and the neuroprotective potential of each of those chemical constituents, then, hey, our model is going to give you the best answer in the world by far. So that's what it's for. So take advantage of it. You can download it. You can use it online. You can buy it on the phones pre-installed or the notebook computers, which are running a variety of Linux. That's all privacy-oriented Linux. Again, that URL is abovephone.com/Brighteon. And you can see all the specials there. Or if you want to download the model for free, you can download it yourself at brightu.ai. Just click the downloads link at the top of the page and enjoy. It's a new frontier of human freedom and human knowledge. And by the way, spread the word about this. Tell people about this. You can download the model, you can put it on a thumb drive, and you can give it to people. Please, please pirate this model, you know? Hand it out, distribute it to everybody, because we want millions of people running this model having access to all of this knowledge and information. You can help me do that by just sharing this with people. Tell people about the website, tell people about the free downloadable model. Just, you know, spread the word, okay? And we all win. We all win when we have access to more knowledge, more freedom, more liberty, more cancer cures, more nutrition knowledge, all of it. We all win. Nobody loses in this deal. The only way you lose is if you don't use it. It's like use it or lose it, you know? Use it and your life will get better. If you ignore it, then, you know, you're going to miss out. You're going to miss out on something amazing, something historic. So check it out now, brighteon.ai. Which again will forward you to Brighteon or brightu.ai. That's where we're currently running the engine. That may change in the future, but that's where it's currently being run. So check it out and thank you for listening. Take care. It's pretty obvious now how they're going to get everybody signed up for the biometric digital ID. I just did an interview with Hakeem from Above Phone. He's done a special, what was it, like a 30 plus page deep dive research report on digital ID, finding all the nefarious ways that they're tricking people into this and how it's going to become this surveillance grid technocracy over everybody. It's going to be a nightmare. But the way a lot of people are going to slip into this is first, they're going to take your job with AI. And then when you lose your job, then the government's going to come along. Eventually, this will happen, probably not that far out. The government's going to come along and say, oh, well, we'll give you free money. You know, we're going to give you a universal basic income. We're going to make sure that you don't go broke or go hungry. And so here, you're going to have all this free money, but you have to sign up for the new thing, the new CBDC. You got to give us your biometrics, fingerprints, tied to whatever, you know, your email, your social, your digital footprint, all of it, all your social media accounts, everything's got to be combined together. You got to give us all that in order to qualify for the UBI. That's what's coming. And because your job got replaced by AI and nobody's hiring, because it's now very hard to get a job, it's going to be very easy to slip into a situation where you need the government bailout in order to survive financially. And then because of that, a lot of people are going to just, they're going to surrender to the digital ID. You know, here, you know, take, here's my scan, here's my saliva, here's my fingerprints, whatever. I just need the money. That's how it's going to happen. And you may recall that during COVID, how did they get people with the vaccine mandates? Simple. They said you can't fly on the airlines without a vaccine, or you can't enter the nursing home to visit your elderly parent without a vaccine, or you can't come on campus at the university without a vaccine. You can't even go to school without a vaccine. Oh, you can't come to the workplace without a vaccine. And so even though technically it was possible for people to say no to the vaccine, they made it incredibly inconvenient, if not very nearly impossible for some people, to not have the vaccine. So most people gave in and said, oh, I'll just take the shot so I can fly, or I'll take the shot so I can, you know, go to school or whatever, or finish nursing school, you know. That's how they got everybody. And they learned from that that they can get people to comply if they just make it incredibly inconvenient for you to not comply. And that's what they're going to do with the digital ID. And that's what they're going to do with the UBI. So, yeah, you want the free money, you want the free groceries, you want all the goodies from government. You're going to have to sign up. You're going to have to surrender everything. You'll have zero privacy. You know, your bank account will be totally controlled by the government. You will own nothing and be happy, in other words, right? It's the globalist agenda becoming reality. And the only people that are going to be safe from that will be people who, number one, know how to protect your privacy to the greatest extent possible. That means getting off of Google, getting off of Windows, getting off of the Google Android phones or the Apple phones. You got to get off of all those systems. And we teach you how to do that at decentralized.tv, by the way, because we interview experts in these areas. But you're going to have to get as off-grid as possible. Have your savings in physical gold and silver instead of in a bank account that can be monitored and controlled and limited by the government. Or maybe you have privacy crypto like Xano or Monero, which is a huge improvement over Bitcoin, in my view. You're going to need to learn how to use technology for privacy. And part of that is using our new AI engine, by the way, which is free. You can download it. You can install it locally. And it works offline. And that's at brighteon.ai. And you can click on downloads and you can download the model and you can use it for free, unlimited, completely offline, because it doesn't need a connection to work. So if you want to ask an AI engine some questions about your health, maybe you have a medical question and you don't want some online system to pry into your medical history because you know that could be used against you one day, well, download our model and you can ask it locally and that always stays private. Nobody could possibly know what you asked it. Even we don't know. It's impossible for us to know. You can just disconnect your computer from the internet and start asking it right there. It's all offline. So this kind of knowledge is going to become critical for surviving the technocracy. And there are amazing people in this space like Aaron Day and Hakim from Above Phone, who I just interviewed, and, you know, pro-privacy people out there who understand technology, like John Bush, Derek Bros, and a bunch of other people who are pro-liberty but also pro-technology, who know how to use tech like we do. I mean, we're building tech. We're releasing tech. And it's helping you protect your freedom and your privacy. But it is going to take some steps. You know, you're going to have to go through a few steps. You're going to have to download. You're going to have to install. You're going to have to, you know, there's a learning curve. How do I do this? How do I run this locally? What is a GPU? You know, how do I do these things? Well, whatever time you invest in learning that, it's going to pay off in spades because you're going to be one of the few people that the government cannot turn off your wallet. you're going to have your privacy intact. You're going to have your assets. When the government defaults on treasuries and the dollar currency, which is probably coming, you know, one day, you're going to still have assets remaining while everybody else is going to be completely wiped out because they trusted the government. They registered their identity to their bank accounts. And, oh, guess what? There was a bank bail-in. They took all the money. And now they're going to give you, I don't know, IOUs or UBIs or I don't knows or something. And you're going to end up being totally screwed. And they're going to take everything. You know, of course that's coming. You know that's coming. We all do. It's obvious that that's coming. That's the way that governments always do this. They print and print and print unlimited debt, and then they default on it, take everybody's money, and start the whole scam over again. Well, if you don't want to lose everything, you're going to need to know how to protect your assets. You're going to need to have your privacy. You're going to need to know how to use tech to protect your privacy. And the only way to do that is to, you know, use local AI engines like the ones that we've made available. In the meantime, if you want the easy answer, just go to brightu.ai and you can scroll down on the homepage and there's a financial coach right there. You could ask it questions, but that's online. That's in the cloud. If you want to do it the smarter way, download the model, run it locally and ask it locally where nobody knows what you're doing. And also stop using Windows because Windows is spyware. It spies on you all the time. Windows even has a new feature that I think they're going to roll out soon that takes a screenshot of your screen every few minutes so that you can recall previous projects and things like that. So it's just going to be taking pictures of your screen every few minutes and uploading it to Microsoft. I mean, imagine the abuses of that. That's why you got to get off Windows, man. We all do. And I'm migrating all kinds of systems off of Windows over to Linux very successfully. And the above book notebook from abovephone.com/Brighteon, that runs a special operating system based on Linux, but it's got privacy enhancements that are amazing. It's the Above OS. Check that out at abovephone.com/Brighteon. And follow me on Brighteon.com. Follow my work at Brighteon.social. You can follow my articles at naturalnews.com. You can use our news aggregation engine at censored.news. You can use all of our tools completely free, even our AI tools at Brighteon.ai. Freedom is your choice. You have the tools, you have everything you need to be free. All you got to do is just want it. You just take a few steps. Freedom is at your fingertips. Knowledge is at your fingertips. You no longer have to rely on Google for searches or Google for your Android or Windows for an operating system. Pro Freedom options are available right now, and they're actually, almost all of them are free, like various Linux operating systems are free also, you know, free open source. So there you go. Take advantage of this, and thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon. Take care.
Broccoli sprouts are nutritional powerhouses. Incorporate nutrient-dense broccoli sprouts into your daily routine with the Health Ranger Store's selection of lab-verified broccoli sprout products. Shop at healthrangerstore.com.